I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and DeGenevieve, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
I'm just puzzled about this new-fangled way to vote that you or I have never heard of before, Dave. Google Form voting. Voting via Google Form. And we dove into it yesterday as the Senate got ready to vote on that sweeping voting reform package. And we were like, what is this? Because we're not used to voting in person. We've, you know, by mail, using a Dropbox, Google Form.
I've never heard of it. And it sounded a little fake and a little shady. So we wanted to dive into it. The best way to vote for me, I love the mail-in voting. I love either mailing it in or dropping it off. I usually have to drop it off because I'm such a procrastinator. But I love it because I can sit down, I can go through my ballot, I can research it, I can take my time. It's the best way. But if I can do it online, if I can do it on a Google Doc, where I literally do not have to leave my seat, now, that is transformative. I love it.
I want to know if it's secure, though.
And that's if it's legal. If it's a scam.
We're going to get the chief deputy for the Davis County Clerk's Office on the line in just a moment. In fact, he's on hold. And let's let Carlos, one of our new producers here at KSL News Radio, talk about how he voted via Google Form. Now, you're a resident of Davis County.
Yes.
But you were in Spain during the last election.
Yeah.
So you, what, get an email?
So I worked it with them. Because I told them, you know, I'm moving to Spain. How does voting work? And so they had my email information. And when we're coming close to the general election, you know, I remember just getting an email, you know, hey, if you want to vote, here's the link, here's your code. And I remember I saw the link and it was just a Google form.
It's just a Google form. Were you thinking it was going to be something that was much more secure? Like,
I thought it was going to be mail. Maybe they sent me something that I can mail to them. You know, I still don't know if it was the reason behind it, but it was just a Google form. And I just thought, you know, it was kind of odd. Didn't seem very secure, but, you know, I put in my code. I entered. And, you know, it was just like a normal ballot. Just all the options, descriptions, voted. And, yeah.
And you called it good. Carlos, first of all, I love that you went to such great lengths to vote. Well done. Yeah. Let's find out more about this. Brian McKenzie, Chief Deputy Clerk, joins us right now. Brian, was this a scam or is this legitimate?
Good morning. No, this was definitely not a scam. It was legitimate. I appreciate Carlos sharing his experience. You know, in 2020, this was our first time using this type of voting method. And a couple of things to help you out. Dave, I wish I could help you out and say, yeah, I could allow you to vote online all the time. Unfortunately, I can't. A little bit of background, some details for you is, number one, yes, this is allowed under our state law. A county may allow a voter to vote an electronic ballot. But it is limited who can do that. Voters with disabilities, they can do that. Also, our military and overseas voters. In Carlos's case, he was going to be overseas during the election. And so we do have this option to do it. It's nothing new. Electronic voting has been around for a number of years. Primarily, how that works, though, is most jurisdictions would send you like an email with a PDF of the ballot along with an affidavit that you have to fill out and sign. One of the drawbacks with that is that you have to have a printer to print it off, and then you have to sign an affidavit that relinquishes your right to a secret ballot, and then email that back to your county clerk to be counted. Recently, over the last couple of years, companies have started developing software to where you can do this remotely without having to print things off. You can just cast your ballot online, for lack of better words, to be very simple. But the biggest drawback to that system is the cost. you're looking at potentially tens of thousands of dollars for each election to serve a rather small number of voters. Now, in 2020, we faced some interesting challenges with the pandemic going on. It was our responsibility to run a fair election and balance that with the restrictions placed on us from the pandemic. We drastically had to reduce our accessible polling locations in June because of a legislative change that limited in-person voting to drive-up voting only. So as a result, there was even more emphasis on stay safe, stay home, vote by mail. But an interesting question was asked of us, and it started making us think and realizing, specifically for our disabled community, what we were saying is everybody stay home and stay safe and vote by mail unless you have a disability that prevents you from voting that by mail ballot. Then you have to come out and vote in person. So we realized we had to come up with a solution to accommodate that, to make some accommodations. We knew an electronic method would need to provide these services. A PDF was not an accessible option, and the cost of the software was cost prohibitive. So yes, Davis County decided to use Google Forms as a method to provide an online ballot option. This method provided secure encrypted data transfer and accessibility features for PCs, tablets, phone users. As Davis County was already a Google user, the only cost of the solution was personnel time to set it up, test, and manage the solution. Now, we recognize that this is an unconventional approach, but it worked. It was secure, accessible, and cost-effective. And we honestly believe that that's exactly what our citizens expect from their government.
Brian McKenzie is the chief deputy clerk in Davis County, and we're talking to him about this new way that we just heard of. It's new to us, Google Form, as a way to cast a ballot. Our producer Carlos did it when he was in Spain, and we thought, what is this? So you say it's secure, but how do we know it was secure? For example, how do we know it was Carlos in Spain voting online on this Google Form and not somebody else?
That's a great question. And again, keep in mind that only voters who had requested to receive an electronic ballot received it. So number one, the voter had to have requested it and provided us a certain amount of information. In the case of Carlos, he provided us his email address. Now, Carlos was issued a unique ballot authentication code that only he would receive through his email. And so, again, it's just like any other system. We do rely on the voter to take secure and to take custody of that ballot and treat it appropriately. So as long as Carlos receives that email from us and uses that authentication code when the ballot comes back in, we're able to verify that that is a valid authentication code and accept that ballot at that point.
When you accept that ballot, do you fill out a paper ballot or anything, or is it just go into the computer system?
No, so that ballot comes back to us. It has to be printed off. We create a paper copy of that, and then it has to be duplicated onto a readable ballot, which is then scanned into our ballot counting devices. So this transfer of information, it doesn't have any direct connection to our election system. It's simply a method for a voter to mark their choices and make their choices known and transmit that back to their election official.
Well, I love that you guys found a way to allow that kind of voting. I think it's great as long as it's secure, which it does sound to be secure, Deb. I hope this is the future. I hope this is the direction we're heading because everything is online, right? And I would love to be able to do it. The mail-in option's fantastic, but this is even better.
So we've got big news out of Buffalo, New York. They are on track to elect their first ever socialist mayor. We hear about socialism and the Socialist Party from time to time, but do we really know what their platform is? I didn't think so. So straight ahead, we're going to have a socialist in Utah live on the line.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.